Nearer the fence, a stocky man, masked like the others, searched the field in robot fashion for hidden fires under the charred skeletons of broken stalks. When he reached the fence, he leaned tiredly against it, taking off his handkerchief to wipe the sweat and soot from his face. He coughed and looked around blankly. His eyes fell on Little Man and me staring up at him. But Caleb Wallace seemed not to recognize us, and after a moment, he picked up his shovel and started back toward the slope without a word. Then Little Man nudged me.
Look over there, Cassie. There go Mama and Big Ma.
I followed his pointing finger. Mama and Big Ma were headed home across the field.
Come on,
I said, sprinting back up the road. When we reached the house, we dragged our feet across the wet lawn to clean them and rejoined Christopher John on the porch. He looked a bit frightened sitting there all alone and was obviously glad we were back.
Y'all all right? He asked.
Course we're all right, I said, plopping on the porch and trying to catch my breath.
What'd it look like?
Before either Little Man or I could answer, Mama and Big Ma emerged from the field with Stacy, the sacks now blackened remnants in their hands. We ran to them eagerly.
Stacy, you all right? I cried. What about TJ? And Claude,
stammered Christopher John. And Little Man asked,
Papa, Mr. Morrison, ain't they coming?
Mama held up her hand wearily. Babies, babies. Then she put her arm around Christopher John. Claude's fine, honey. And, she said, looking down at Little Man, Papa and Mr. Morrison, they'll be coming soon.
But TJ, Mama, I persisted. What about TJ?
Mama sighed and sat down on the steps, laying the sacks on the ground. The boys and I sat beside her. I'm going to go on in and change, Mary, Big Ma said, climbing the steps and opening our bedroom door. Ms. Fanny gonna need somebody. Mama nodded. Tell her I'll be down soon as I get the children to bed and things straightened out here. Then she turned and looked down at Little Man, Christopher John, and me, eager to know what had happened. She smiled slightly, but there was no happiness in it. TJ's all right. The sheriff and Mr. Jameson took him into Strawberry.
But why, Mama?
Asked Little Man.
He done something bad?
They think he did, baby. They think he did.
Then they didn't hurt him no more, I asked.
Stacy looked across at Mama to see if she intended to answer. Then, his voice hollow and strained, he said, Mr. Granger stopped them and sent them up to fight the fire. I sensed that there was more, but before I could ask what, Christopher John piped,
And Papa and Mr. Morrison, they didn't have to fight them old men? They didn't have to use the guns?
Thank the Lord, no, said Mama. They didn't. The fire come up, said Stacy, and Mr. Morrison come and got me, and then the men come down here to fight the fire, and didn't nobody have to fight nobody.
Mr. Morrison come get you alone? I asked, puzzled. Where was Papa?
Stacy again looked at Mama, and for a moment they both were silent. Then Stacy said,
Y'all know he couldn't make that slope with that bad leg of his.
I looked at him suspiciously. I had seen Papa move on that leg. He could have made that slope if he wanted to.
All right now, Mama said, rising. It's been a long, tiring night, and it's time you all were in bed.
I reached for her arm.
Mama, how bad is it really? I mean, is there enough cotton left to pay the taxes?
Mama looked at me oddly.
Since when did you start worrying about taxes?
I shrugged, then leaned closer toward her, wanting an answer, yet afraid to hear it.
The taxes will get paid, don't you worry,
was all the answer she gave. Now, let's get to bed.
But I want to wait for Papa and Mr. Morrison, protested Little Man.
Me too,
yawned Christopher John. Inside. All of us went in but Stacy, and Mama didn't make him. But as soon as she had disappeared into the boys' room to make sure Little Man and Christopher John got to bed, I returned to the porch and sat beside him.
I thought you went to bed, he said.
I want to know what happened over there.
I told you,
Mr. Granger, I come and got Papa and Mr. Morrison like you asked, I reminded him. Now, I want to know everything happened after I left.
Stacy sighed and rubbed his left temple absently as if his head were hurting.
Ain't much happened, except Mr. Jameson tried talking to them men some more, and after a bit they pushed him out of the way and stuffed TJ into one of their cars. But Mr. Jameson, he jumped into his car and lit out ahead of them and drove up to Mr. Granger's and swung his car smack across the road so couldn't nobody get past him. Then he started laying on his horn. You go over there?
He nodded.
By the time I got across the field to where I could hear what was going on, Mr. Granger was standing on his porch, and Mr. Jameson was telling him that the sheriff or nobody else was about to stop a hanging on that flimsy message he'd sent up to the Averys. But Mr. Granger, he just stood there on his porch looking sleepy and bored, and finally he told the sheriff, Hank, you take care of this. That's what the folks elected you for. Then Caleb Wallace, he leaps out of his car and tries to grab Mr. Jameson's keys. But Mr. Jameson threw them keys right into Mrs. Granger's flower bed, and couldn't nobody find them. So Melvin and R.W. come up and pushed Mr. Jameson's car off the road. Then them cars was about to take off again when Mr. Granger come running off the porch hollering like he's lost his mind. There's smoke coming from my forest yonder, he yells. Dry as that timber is, a fire catch hold it won't stop burning for a week. Give that boy to Wade like he wants and get on up there. And folks started running all over the place for shovels and things. Then all of them cut back down the road to the Averys and through them woods over to our place.
And that's when Mr. Morrison come got you. Stacy nodded.
He found me when I followed them men back up to the woods.